Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I think people have kind of figured it out already. If anyone that has listened to Stunt Granny, if they have a problem in that department, it'd be pretty weird. But anyway, grandkids, welcome to a later than expected start of Stunt Granny Audio
Yeah.
615. It is always late when Jeremy Mays and myself, Kevin DeFrango, get on the horn before the show because we always have some bullshit to catch up on.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing, 'cause like I said, man, that COVID tired is not fun. So, sometimes doing menial things will wear your ass out. So, as I was zoning out before you hit me up, I was like, "Oh God!" So I had to wake up a little bit. Either
Yeah.
that, or I'm falling asleep from watching wrestling. So I watched a lot of wrestling today.
Oh, yeah, I only watched the end of AEW today. I watched the first part a fair I watched about the first 40 or 50 minutes last night. And now I'm trying to like babble my way into talking about something, but you know, I guess. Did you end up watching? Chris and I stayed up to watch Impact. Did you watch that ahead of time also? Did you watch that today?
I actually watched it live Tuesday before I fell asleep, and I went back and watched most of it. And I fell asleep during the Sami Callihan stuff because, as I texted you, he sucks. This Sami Callihan character, the promo, whatever, it's just such a turnoff. And it always has been for me. Even when he was like, I think it was Jeremiah Crane or something like that in Lucha
Oh.
Underground, it was like, blah. I just don't like anything about him. I think my body was like, hey, listen, we don't need to do this. We're recording this. And then fell asleep. And I woke up and watched the Omega Don Callis thing, which I could have waited till yesterday to watch it because they did the exact same thing for the first half of the interview on Dynamite. So.
Yeah, honestly, like I zoned out of the Dynamite interview because I'm like, am I just literally getting the same speech that I got last night?
Yeah. Now
And
Omega was a little different, so that's where it was saved to me.
'cause I guess I liked Omega becoming a dick ahead of the
Yes.
change. But like to me, since this has happened, he's gone into like this cartoony level of dick that I'm having a hard time dealing with.
See, I actually don't mind it at all. This is kind of going back to the Japan stuff, and to me, it feels like he's ramping up. So I don't know. Like, I liked the interview a lot on Tuesday. I only sort of liked it Wednesday because half of it was a repeat. But
Right.
I liked the dynamic of a manager that can talk while his client or whatever gets to just mug for the camera, basically.
Oh,
And then they turn it over. I mean, everyone's comparing it to Bockwinkel and Heenan. Okay, I can see that a little bit. But then there's also like the J.J. Dillon Four Horsemen with Ric Flair. Because
Oh.
everybody could talk in the Four Horsemen.
Yes.
You know? So we haven't had that sort of thing. Like, we had Paul Heyman, but he did all the talking for Lesnar. I guess maybe
Yeah.
Heyman and Punk?
Yeah, I mean, you can make something of an argument for Heyman and Lesnar just because I'm not gonna put Lesnar up there with, you know, like The Rock or anything as far as promo quality goes, but he's not bad either though.
Right, yeah.
But like I definitely wouldn't put him like your other comparisons of like Ric Flair, like they were all such high level, and I'm not sure just because I didn't see much Nick Bockwinkel, I'm gonna bow out on that one.
Dude, it is worth watching those old AWA episodes for Heenan and Bockwinkel. They are great together. great together.
Okay.
So
maybe if I ever get free time, I will find time for that.
It's even worth it. Like, I guess your time at home's over now, but even having it on the background just to hear him.
Oh,
Bockwinkel's one of those guys that never got the credit he deserved because he was in the AWA when it was dying. You know, like,
oh, okay, yeah.
Like he was there when it wasn't, but he was also there while it was dying, so that sucked. But anyways.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I definitely wouldn't put Lesnar up there, but yeah, this kind of situation, obviously Omega, I mean, the guy can do promos in two different languages, for Pete's sake. So yeah, you know that he can talk. So yeah, and I do kind of wonder myself if part of it, like, there is something that has always, like, even going back to his Cyrus days, that just, there's something that turns me off in general about Don Callis that probably is not helping my attitude at all.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with, I guess, with Sami Callihan for me. I'm sure there are people that really do enjoy him. I'm not one of them.
Well, so, I can put Sami Callihan on my list, too, because when you call yourself the draw and, like, there really isn't ever any buzz about you, that's a tough one. Like, it's cool, you know, it's one thing if you're kind of the new guy on the block and you're trying to help you hype yourself up. But when you've been trying to pull that gimmick and you're still in Impact and no one else is showing any interest in you,
yeah,
you're not that much of a draw. Yeah.
Would this be irony of calling yourself the draw while there are literally no fans watching you in the arena? It's like, okay. I guess I would be a draw. It's kind of a mouthful to say, but yeah, but no, I'm still perplexed at why this angle is the greatest thing ever, the way people reacted to it. It was definitely a surprise when Don Callis said Kenny Omega was going to be on Impact. I was like, wait, what? That was intriguing. I enjoyed seeing what we saw Tuesday. And again, you know, mixed results on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I forgot to follow up with you. But the idea that this was the biggest screw job since Montreal, and how disgusted everybody is with the end, rings so hollow that it actually takes away from the effectiveness of what happened. I mean, Tony Schiavone saying this is bullshit, I'm disgusted, Excalibur going, this is disgraceful, and I'm like, John Moxley, every match he was, which, by the way, is another bad part of this, he suplexed him into a heater. That's okay, but taking a microphone and hitting you in the head with it is what, that's disgusting, like, what are we doing?
They've done a, and maybe it'll come up in later promos, but for that, I think that at some point, Callis and Omega should kind of point out, and to me, it would put them firmly into maybe the gray territory, that Moxley entered into a gentleman's agreement, or even a contractual agreement, with MJF, and then did his move anyway. Like, to me, that should be...
Oh, good call. Yes.
That really should be part of their argument.
That,
like,
was a contractual obligation, by the way. Yes.
You know, hey, this guy cheated to retain against MJF. Like, why would we trust him to, you know, honor our gentleman's agreement? Like, well, yeah, and I honestly just thought about that.
But no, all right. So if you think about the title match, supposed to be a gentleman's agreement, right?
Yeah.
And this is what drives me nuts about AEW in general. They go outside the ring, and they're fighting outside the ring for 5 minutes. And I think even Jim Ross goes, is this a no count out match? Is this no disqualification? Like, what's going on? So how are you, like, the effectiveness of that, of the match and what happened at the end would have been amplified if it always stayed in the ring and it was a wrestling match. I mean, Moxley goes out and gets a chair, sits down, and they're smacking each other. Like, what are we doing? This is dumb.
And, yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like having a Hell in a Cell where everyone gets out of it now. It totally defeats the effectiveness of the Hell in a Cell concept.
Right.
So, how do you have a gentleman's agreement when it was clearly broken? What, because he didn't hit him with weapons? Like, what? Well, yeah, of course he didn't. It wasn't a no disqualification match. What the hell are we doing? And the fact that he got hit in the head with a microphone, and that's what did it, supposedly. And rightfully, Omega points out, well, I also hit him with the one-wing angel.
Oh.
Because getting hit in the head with a microphone is not gonna cause you to lose a match.
Yeah.
And that's, like, all of that added together is what just made the outrage so hilariously stupid.
Yeah, and maybe that's part of the thing that's just sitting bad with me, too, is that, yeah, I agree with you. Like, A, it's still sad that how 20-some-odd years ago is still the biggest screw job that you can talk about.
Yeah, like, and the idea that that was a legitimate, that was legit. This, nothing, I mean, I guess the microphone to the head is illegal. Well, so is suplexing somebody into something outside the ring, which is just gone, I guess it's just, you know, allowable now.
Yeah,
but
evidently.
It's not like they started the match and Omega puts him in a figure four, and the referee calls for the bell immediately. Like, that's shenanigans. That's an actual, if you want to say, screw job, whatever.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Some guy getting a microphone from somebody, getting hit in the head with it.
Yeah, it's we've seen more cheating on AEW TV. People get screwed over more just on regular TV, AEW TV, than what happened there.
Yes.
Like, I can't think of an example offhand, honestly, but I'm sure that there's one out there.
Yeah, and I know because it's not a title match, but yesterday they're fighting for the diamond ring, which is just idiotic as well.
Oh.
They're fighting over a diamond ring. Miro comes in, clotheslines Orange Cassidy. The announcers aren't going crazy then. They're like, oh my god, how could he do that? No, that's way more legit, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely getting screwed.
Yeah.
Because it had nothing to do with anyone involved in the match. At least if it's by some trickeration with people at ringside, you kind of see it coming. But yeah, that was... Miro is just...
Well, to go back to the Omega thing, I know, yeah. Believe me, we'll talk about Miro too. But if they would have treated that like I am absolutely disappointed in Kenny Omega, he's let us down, just something like that.
Yeah.
I think that was a better way to handle it than yelling bullshit and being mad when it was so forced. To where it's like, okay, so? I mean, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We've all seen wrestling matches before. And, like, why was Kenny Omega supposedly this like, paragon of virtue that this was so, like, reprehensible?
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, a guy that calls himself the cleaner should not have a spotless image.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Like, literally, that's what I mean, I know that they've kind of made it into a fun joke with the women with the brooms, but...
I hate that, by the way. which I think is the point of it, but I hate it. He's supposed to be a douche, which is why he's doing all this.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But it's a really effective job because I can't stand that.
That part of things does crack me up, especially since they're in, like, some weird 80s outfit, too.
Yes. Why? Like, I'm sure there's some... Well, you know why he says North Carolina all the time, right?
No. I was...
Okay. Somebody asked, or somebody said something about it, and Ken Omega goes, well, I was trying not to be obvious, but I guess he was a big Michael Jordan fan. And that's every single time when they introduce Michael Jordan, it would be, he's from North Carolina, like that.
Oh.
So he always comes up with some way of working that in. So... But,
yeah.
The bad jazzercise outfits and all that stuff, like... And no one's doing the same move half the time. Like, this is shit. And that's when you have to back off and go, oh, yeah, it's supposed to be. Okay. They got me. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this just sucks. So, I don't know why I'm dogging on him so much. That's not even fair. But, whatever.
Oh.
Well, you saw Access got the... Between... Their digital platform and Access TV, they got 750,000 views.
Oh.
That's more than NXT.
Yeah.
So it worked.
I mean, I said this to Chris. Impact is nothing better than background fodder. Oh my God, that show was terrible.
See... Okay, here, I think the problem with that, and I always tell Elise, is they need to put crowd noise in. They need to put something there because they're in a vacuum, and it hurts the product. Because the, was it Saban and Josh Alexander? Is that the first match?
Yeah.
That was a good match. But without a crowd or something... It's just, it's off-putting. It's like WrestleMania.
Oh.
You had all those matches, and some of them were good, but it's like, okay, this is just awkward.
Yeah.
So, like, that was actually, and I know you're going to be like, what? But that was their most straightforward episode they'd had in a while. Like, there was no goofy shenanigans with, like, a murder mystery and all that stuff.
Well, the problem that I had is that they were... acknowledging that they were bringing on new viewers because of AEW. But then they did absolutely nothing to explain storylines.
That's a good point.
Nothing. Like, I had no idea who the two fat guys were that Tommy Dreamer was talking to. Still don't.
Oh, Triple XL, Ace Romero and the other guy. I don't know the other guy's name.
Sure.
AC Romero's pretty good, actually. So,
well,
he was a guy that pounced Marcos. Like, I don't know if you remember the GIF I sent a long time ago. He's the one that pounced Marcos Stunt over the top rope into the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, but no, he's good, but...
Yeah, I'm the, it's no knock on their abilities whatsoever, but like they had a pay-per-view on Sunday or Saturday or whatever,
and they
did nothing to explain what was going on to help hype that. You know, like they were just kind of going through the motions, and I watched on Twitch. I can't believe how much filler is in that show. Like, if I could record that and watch it in an hour, it would be more tolerable.
See, what? Yeah, that's true. That's how I watch the rest of it. But the thing is, they don't have an identity. And it's very clear, like, they brought back the Knockouts tag team titles. I don't know why. They have a better... women's division than AEW. Although, if you watch Dark, which I know you don't, they're slowly building their roster up with, like, decent talent. So maybe they're finally listening, but... Oh, yeah, and also... So anyways, to stick with Impact. Like, you're dead right. Like, if they knew this was going to happen, then they should have had an episode of, like, built up to this.
Oh.
So that when you tuned in, you were seeing the Motor City Machine Guns versus the North. You know, there's the match. Like, oh my god, look at this tag team.
Yeah.
Look at this tag team match. Because it's going to be good if it ever happens. And then you have your, I can't remember, was it Rajit Singh? Is the X Division title?
Oh, champion. Yeah.
You have him in a match. Like, put your faces of the company in big profile matches. So that by the time it gets to the Callus and Omega, you're like, this show's been really good. They've got some good people here. Because I think a lot of people still think Impact and go, ugh. But they got some good talent there.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
they...
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I didn't think of it that way.
They made me go, just because, yeah, like, it just seemed aimless. Like, I had no idea what was going on half the time. I mean, I did enjoy that opening match, and I enjoyed the match, the main event there with Rich Swann and Willie Mack against Chris Bay and Moose. And their characters were fleshed out a little bit better, and their situations seemed to be kind of put into perspective better, but there were a lot of them that just, I had no idea what was going on, and Chris and I kind of talked about it a little bit, but since you watch Impact, it might have a little more weight. Like, I don't know who actually has a big enough women's division to support a tag team division.
I think NXT does. But they don't utilize all the women anymore. Which is very weird to me. And, well, now, shit, with Candace and Dakota being hurt.
Oh.
That limits you, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. With any titles, honestly, like, the women's tag team title, there's no problem. Like, when Sasha and Bayley were the champs, they went to NXT and defended them. Well, why the hell isn't that happening now? We're stuck with Nia and Shayna Baszler against Lana and Asuka. Okay, no one asked for this, but...
Right.
Yeah, it's like, it's not going to be good. Why would it? But, no, you're right. But then even, like, even WWE's tag teams, are there that many to have two different titles?
Oh.
I mean, it should be the champs float from show to show. That's just how it should be, but...
Yes. Yeah. The men's tag team title should float, too. It would probably help focus things a little bit better in general.
There shouldn't be a universal champion, either. It should be the WWE champion. Because a fucking universal title by name makes no sense whatsoever. Because you ain't fighting someone from Zarmak that's only defended on Earth. So it doesn't make any sense.
Didn't they beat Thanos once?
Probably. So, no, it's just... that's a whole other topic. But you're right.
To me, Impact didn't put their best foot forward at all.
I think that's fair.
Because, I have seen a lot of good stuff, and, like, I wasn't even surprised when I saw, oh, yeah, this women's division. You know, I saw someone making the smart-ass remark of, oh, yeah, this women's division that's really going to help out AEW. Because that tag match was not a good highlight for any of those women, and I think I like at least three of the four of them. Because I know I like Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the woman that she pinned. I feel like I've seen her. I saw her in Women of Wrestling and thought she was pretty decent.
Who got pinned? It wasn't Rosemary. Was it Taya?
No. No, because Rosemary and Taya won.
Yeah.
Was her name Becky?
Oh, you know something? I don't think I saw that match.
Okay.
I remember Deanna Purrazzo being on, because at least didn't like her outfit.
But wow. yeah, that really was not even a decent feature for the ladies, which I do, you know, the last I watched, it seemed like a strong suit, and it's definitely something that you and I have talked about when we've done a show, and I was just like, this is kind of, because it didn't even feel like they picked. And that was another thing they didn't explain, is it seemed like they just got assigned partners.
Okay, so one of the stories was that, like, Tennille Dashwood could never find the correct partner. That was what that was about. And then, yes, they just, well, Deanna Purrazzo, is it Kimber Ray? Or, oh, crap. I can't remember who her tag team partner is, but it's also her buddy.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're friends. Taya and Rosemary, they're a team, which is very weird, I know. And I don't remember who they fought either. Oh, wait. Who had Kira Hogan? Which, oh, by the way, I don't know if this woman did that on purpose, but Kira Hogan being a small black lady using her last name as Hogan is fucking hilarious to me. It may be her real last name. I don't care. It's still funny to me. So,
yeah,
she should have called herself Terry Hogan. That would have been even better.
Oh my god, that would have been hilarious. Why? Someone really should have thought about that.
Such a dick move, but it's very funny. So,
yeah,
I'll allow it. So, but all right. So that's Impact. Whatever. It's they're not going to get anywhere until the crowd comes back, and. Because there's no hype. Like, I watched most of MLW trying to catch up with them because they started up again.
Uh-huh.
They don't have a crowd, even though they keep trying to say the luxury boxes are full. Which is fucking stupid. And their matches are good, but they're suffering too. And they've actually had some good matches on there. So they're suffering because of no crowd.
Yeah, that was Chris's biggest drawback. He's like, you know what? Now that I've seen the Thunderdome and AEW has the limited partners or the limited fan situation, he's like, man, it is really tough to go back to no crowd.
Yep. And then, who's the other one? Try watching NWA Explosion. Because they taped a bunch of matches when they were out in L.A. And that's the same way. It's very, very difficult to watch. Especially because the matches are way old. They're talking about Thunder Rosa being the NWA champion still.
Oh. Huh.
And I was like, guys, we gotta hurry your ass up. This is ridiculous.
What is happening on the production end of things here, guys?
Especially your youth. Get going. So whatever, but yeah. So that was my wrestling in a nutshell today, just catching all that stuff. But I saw the ratings and I saw how well AEW did compared to NXT.
Oh yeah.
I'm convinced that people watch AEW because it's the cool show, because it's not under the WWE banner.
Oh.
Because AEW was garbage next to NXT this week. NXT had so much going on, like, so much got presented, so many new things happened, where AEW was just a bunch of mishmash of shit.
And I can't tell you how much the Young Bucks match there to open the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, are we just going to have Lucha Brother matches all the time now?
Yes.
Where no one tags in and out, really. You can do tag team maneuvers for minutes on end. I'm like, oh, man.
And it was too long. Because, all right, when was the last time the Hybrid 2 were actually on Dynamite? Outside of them attacking the Young Bucks. They've been on Dark forever. So all of a sudden, these guys come in a non-title match, and they're going toe-to-toe, and they lose anyways. So it's like, well, what's the point?
I don't know. They love to do that competitive match thing in AEW.
Yes.
But then it, because the team that's being competitive ends up losing, it doesn't do them any favors, the losing right. team any favors, and it doesn't do the winning team any favors, because you're like, why did it take you so long to put away a bunch of people that we haven't really seen on TV before?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a better shine if there was a title, if the titles were involved. Because you're like, this team has stepped it up. Like, wow, like, that's how you can save it, is this team stepped it up. They gave the Bucks everything and then some, like all those cliches. And be like, wow, we did not expect that. That is a team that's going to be back. Something like that. Instead of, well, the Young Bucks pulled it off. Well, of course they should have.
Yeah, they pulled it off with a bad back or whatever was going wrong with Matt this match.
But
dude always has a crippling injury by the end of every match and somehow guts it out to win.
But yeah, and then what we get... FTR versus the Varsity Blondes. By the way, the Varsity Blondes beat Alex Reynolds and John Silver on Dark in the main event this week.
Oh.
The two guys that are pairing with Hangman Adam Page lost to Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr. So don't tell me they have long-term booking in mind, because they don't. They just don't. They don't know what they're doing. Outside of, as I've said before, they're stars. They know exactly what they're doing. If they had long-term booking for anybody else, why the fuck is Evil Uno trying to get Dustin Reynolds. That was actually a real slip. Trying to get Dustin Reynolds to join the Dark Order after he just fought and beat up 10. And then he had two promos saying, I'm going to take out the Dark Order. That's my goal.
Oh, did he have those promos on Dark also?
Yes.
Oh, well, good for him.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Dustin Rhodes is great.
I'm sure that he is for the people that actually watch Dark.
That's you don't even know about Britt Baker's waiting room, do you? Her interview segment?
Nope.
Where she's a total bitch to everybody, and Reba, or Rebel, is just back there with her Poindexter from Revenge of the Nerds laugh.
Oh, it sounds outstanding.
She's just a bitch to everybody. And then if they're a bitch to her, or they're a jerk, whatever, she kicks them off the show. And then this week, they ended it with Marco Stunt singing a song.
Oh, that's what I saw everyone talking about Marco's, how they are impressed with Marco's stunt singing online.
Yes. Yes. And the thing is, it was stupid. It doesn't make any sense. But even Britt Baker had to sit back and go, well, there's no other way we're going to do anything, so we're just going to end the show now. It was so, it's just like, they do whatever they want on Dark for the most part.
Yeah.
But, yeah. As a storyline and cohesion, NXT was far tighter. And it is. You have a clear spell of what people are going to be doing. And, you know, that's why I liked it. I liked the personalities better. But then, before we go to NXT, two things. One, I don't care, one, that Sting is back. Two, I really don't care Sting is back on TNT after 20 years. Who cares?
My thing is that my big hobby horse has been, stop telling me how long it's been.
Yes.
Like,
that would help. Yes.
It's just like, don't put that number there, guys. Like, it's Tony, how long has it been since you interviewed Sting? 25 years. Holy fuck, guys. No.
Did you say 2.5 years?
No. Like, it should not have been that long in between interviews. Like, The whole nostalgia thing is definitely like I enjoy parts of it, but that's one part that I'm just like, no, like I don't want to see Mario Lemieux out playing for the Penguins next season. He's fucking old and can't play hockey anymore. Sting is not an appropriate wrestler age anymore now that he has a six in front of his age.
In a one after it.
In a one
I had
after
no
it.
idea he was 61 years old. Now, this has always been my problem with Sting, besides that he was never my favorite. He just never was. He comes out and he looks like a badass with that chrome makeup on. He's just scowling and all this. Right?
Yeah.
Then he goes, Tony, hey! What? Wait, what's going on? And then he's just being a smart ass to Cody, which is kind of funny. He's like blowing him off. So Cody's gonna be mad and they'll probably fight, whatever. But it was just like, that's always the problem. As soon as Sting opens his mouth, the aura is gone.
And it was very awkward to watch people hug.
Yes.
Awkwardly, to boot.
Like,
Like,
no one really knew whether they're supposed to or not.
yeah.
Yes.
Sting's like, let me hug you. And Tony's like, dude, we're not supposed to be doing shit like this right now. Like, the announcers in AEW give so much away because they do act almost too real sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, C Chris always talks about it. I know you've talked about it too. Like, when Jim Ross is fed up with something, you know he's fed up with something.
Yes. I love it. I know Chris hates it. I love when he gets mad.
And Shivani's kind of the same way. Like, he has a real reaction to most things. And, like, that was one where he's just like, what's going on here right now? And he's had a couple other real reactions here recently that have been pretty fun.
Oh, I forgot. There's actually one more thing, but there's Miro,
Oh, yeah.
who tied Jake Roberts for awful sweaters. I don't care if that shit says Versace on it or not.
Oh,
So,
yes.
ugly's ugly.
That one to me falls under the even good designers make bad shit, and that is under that
But
umbrella.
isn't that their art? They make garbage and go, no, it's fierce or it's bold or it's whatever. Idiots. But yeah, and it's nice to see him being a dick, but they gotta get him away from Kip Sabian. Kip Sabian is boring as hell.
Well, there was that, and I mean, I was like, why did they pick this moment to finally make him look like a badass? They've had him out for like 3 or 4 matches now and have kind of made him look silly.
Yeah, well, he looked like a badass in that battle royal.
Oh,
He
okay,
was
yeah.
destroying people in that. And then he just got the numbers game, whatever else. So, outside of that, though, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's 'cause so it's to me it's been a little it's been a rough presentation for him. Yeah, and Kip Sabian, I think you hit something that I hadn't thought about yet, but he might be the black hole of charisma. I have not dealt out that moniker in quite some time,
Yeah.
but I'm just like Penelope Ford doesn't look as good attractive anymore. Like, just
One, no, you're absolutely wrong. But two, I get it. I get it. No, that girl is smoking hot. So.
oh my God. But yeah, like he just seems anti-charismatic. Like it's tough.
I'm trying to figure out what's meaner, the black hole of charisma or anti-charismatic. Like, you're anti-charisma. It's like, how do you even do that? That's how much you don't have it. But yeah, that's when they need some experienced people. They pull him aside, be like, listen, you're not connecting because of this, and you got to figure it out. And here's every veteran you didn't want on your TV screen that can help you with this. You know, like put something else to work, just something. But and we'd be remiss right now to not talk about the utter pointlessness of the Inner Circle. The only thing that came out of that was Sammy Guevara possibly turning face if MJF does something wrong. Like, was that the whole setup? We couldn't have done that in a 5-minute backstage thing?
Almost all of those segments with MJF getting involved in that with them now is just, to me, drug on way too long. Like, I had a fun time. Like, I got a kick out of that whole musical montage that they did.
Yeah.
But, like, so to me, that one didn't wear on too long. But, like, almost everything else that they've done, I'm like, A, it's drug on too long, and B, it just seems like the same thing over and over again.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the other thing that just really is not helping it. Like, they took, like, how long was it? Like, a solid month of TV time, month and a half, to get MJF into the Inner Circle. And, you know, we saw the warring factions within the Inner Circle itself. And now we're just getting even more of it, and it's just like, guys, this has been going on 2 months now that this has been, you know, a problem. Like, this is silly.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the end game for it. Like, is everyone just turn on Jericho or something? Or just, like, where is this going? So, I don't know. I think it's a waste of MJF and Wardlow. Like, they were moving along just fine.
Oh.
And like, I don't know. It seems pointless. Maybe we'll eat our words later on, but it seems utterly pointless right now. Other than to slow MJF's momentum down. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, he picks up another win at the end of the show, whether that diamond ring thing is dumb or not. Like, they have definitely booked him as, like, a higher up talent. Like, there's no reason he shouldn't be getting a shot at whether it's Kenny Omega or Jon Moxley as champion. You know, he was on track to do that, so
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and that's that, like, there's so many fundamental flaws with AEW. Like, the show is not that well booked. Sorry.
Well,
outside of a few people, there's not a lot of stories going on.
And this kind of correlates to what we were talking about before the show. There are intelligent, well-meaning people that I follow on Twitter for wrestling purposes that seem to give AEW just way too many passes,
a constant pass,
or they think that it's good booking, and I'm like, none of this has been coherent. Like, how can you even argue that? Like, I'm like, that's the part that I don't get. Like, hey man, I guess if it's cool to not be WWE and we're getting more fans involved in wrestling again, cool, but I mean, it's not bad enough to completely, you know, turn me off like I was describing Impact. Yeah. But, you know, it is one of those things where it's just like, nah, there's a problem here. And it's some point, like, I keep on going, oh, at some point this is going to be, you know, those people are going to kind of catch on to their booking errors. And it's just like, because what was it? I was a little bit shocked when I did look at the ratings note that, what did they say? It was week 61 of the Wednesday Night Wars.
Damn, yeah. Didn't even realize that, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, we're kind of getting to this stage where it's been a while.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, it's not going to turn because the people who watch AEW, It can do no wrong.
Oh.
And it's the cool thing. It's not Vince's product. The Bucks are the greatest. Kenny's the greatest. We're going to watch this all the time. That's that audience. So I get it. And then they also watch it. But we've also seen that they'll watch NXT as well. And vice versa. NXT audience watches AEW. So, you know, it's like moving would help. But whatever. But.
Yeah.
But if you look at NXT, some of the booking decisions have been kind of, writing decisions have been kind of goofy. But everyone's got something going on right now.
Oh.
I mean, your stars, the people that you want to see all the time, have something going on. They're even bringing in people that you don't even know who the hell they are. Like Tyler Russ. Who used to be Russ Tyler on the Indies.
Oh, okay.
He comes out to help Thatcher. And you're like, who is this guy?
Okay.
And then Malcolm Bivens is backstage going, I like what you did. Let's talk. Like, oh, they added a little story element there. And then they're continuing Thatcher and Ciampa, which after Sunday, thank you. Let's do that again. Because that match was great.
Yeah, they had a lot of violent matches, and that was violent in a different kind of a way.
I'm trying to figure out, did Thatcher bust open like his cauliflower ear? Is that what happened?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. It looked awesome. I mean, it sucks that it was the hard way. But, I mean, a dude bleeding from his ear after all that stuff, like, that's great. So, and I really like Timothy Thatcher, or Tim Thatcher now, whatever they're calling him. But I saw him in MLW, and I saw him somewhere else, and I was like, this guy's got no personality at all. And in NXT, he just brought it out of him. And he looks like he would kill you. So it's utterly believable.
Yeah, he does a really good sales job on his gimmick. Like, his main problem, and it was one where when he sat down to bug Ciampa, I was just like, he just hasn't won a matchup. Like, he keeps on getting into these, feuds with people and then losing.
Yeah. The last one I remember him winning was Riddle. When he choked him out in that cage match.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which is not a good sign for you.
Yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago. Now, at least it feels like forever ago. But, I enjoyed that match. I'm happy they're going to try and keep it going. I'm actually intrigued where it goes, because Thatcher doesn't... He looks pissed off he lost, because of course his character would be. But I'm also wondering if he's like, I'm going to learn something from this guy. Like, I got all that just from that simple stare down.
Oh.
Unlike 57 guys running and beating on each other and trying to make heads or tails of stuff. But then, even like I was so pissed off at this, by the way. Jake Atlas beating Isaiah Swerve Scott. Shane Strickland, Swerve Scott, whatever, he is awesome. To lose to, like, tubby, bland 80s wrestler Jake Atlas makes no sense to me. So...
Yeah.
Whatever. That was a down note for me. Like, this is dumb. But I enjoyed the rest of the show. I was shocked when Karrion Kross came out.
Yeah, that was one of those things where was it last week that they started they had a little video teaser for him?
No, that was just the pay-per-view or the War Games.
Oh, okay.
3 days.
Yeah, soon enough to still make my point, I guess.
Yeah.
That usually when you see something like that, there's a little more runtime before the person's return. Yeah. And the fact that it happened this Wednesday was like, oh, like, I guess I maybe expected it later in the year, beginning of next year, something like that. And the fact that he popped up, I mean, I guess you kind of knew that it was coming. Well, actually, I shouldn't even say that. When Scarlet popped up, you kind of felt like it might happen, but they've also sent her as an emissary and kind of left him out of the picture before, too, which would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, she showed up. Here we go. Here's the start of the angle. And then to have him come out and beat up Damian Priest, I was like, oh, okay. Because I liked the opening thing where all the wrestlers are, like, you know, jive talking, whatever, and Balor just leaves. I thought that was great, because why would you stay when these three dummies who have interrupted you are going to argue? So they're like, hey, champ, where are you going? He's like, that ain't my problem. That's Regal's problem. And walks off. Because he's exactly right.
Yes.
If they don't want wrestlers making their own matches, this is exactly what happens. So it was effective. So I thought it was weird Kyle O'Reilly saying, hey, I should be getting another shot. Like, dude, you lost clean. Damian Priest, you just lost in...
a triple threat match. Yeah,
and you just lost in War Games, so it's kind of a weird thing, but...
Yeah, no one has much of a claim currently.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody who could. I mean, I guess Ciampa, but they already had that match.
Oof, yeah. We don't need to revisit that one.
No. But yeah, so it's like... And that's where someone like Timothy Thatcher, they would have been making him win, like you were saying.
Oh.
That could have been there, too.
Yeah.
Right now, they can do whatever they want. No one's paying it for tickets. So... You know, you don't have to, you can take your chances. That's why I didn't mind Leon Ruff being the North American champion.
Oh. That was surprising that his title reign was still longer than any title reign that Kane had.
We forget about Kane's world championship run, though.
The
big gold belt one.
But yeah.
It's funny because I was talking to my buddy Frazier, who goes to the Evolve. Well, Evolve's no longer around, but we used to go to the Evolve shows together. And after seeing all the people who are on those Evolve shows, seeing who's in WWE or NXT right now, the one guy I would have never told you, one, would be featured as a real player, two, let alone winning a title, was Leon Ruff. He was in a tag team with AR Fox, who is awesome. And he's nowhere to be found. I don't even know. He's not even in AEW. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh.
I saw, like, one of the greatest matches I've ever seen was him and AR Fox and Shane Strickland.
Uh-huh.
At the first Evolve show we went to. That match was incredible. And... I'm like, how is this guy not in WWE or NXT? And then apparently, and maybe I'm speaking on the side of my mouth, but I thought I read or heard or it was rumored that he had done like some gay porn stuff or something.
Oh.
And I just went, so? Shotzi Blackheart used to sell her own shit. So, okay, who cares? Like, what are we doing?
You mean literal shit?
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, she's.
Guess I forgot about. I get. It, I didn't realize it was.
That ain't what I'm forgetting.
I didn't think it was fecal matter. I thought there were other unsavory things.
Yeah,
involved.
Right, so that's the rumor, at least, that she would actually like sell her shit. Because somebody said something, so she and I'm like, okay, whether it's true or not. I understand it's a funny story to us, but it may not be to her, but it's still a funny story. So.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm not sure how you mail that legally, but whatever.
I'm not sure why you buy that.
Dude, there's something for everybody.
I mean, guess.
There's a whole industry of porn for feet.
That is true.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all sorts of weird subgenres. It's like. We've got ourselves so desensitized to something that was so hard to find when we were young that now we have to go to, no, I just want someone to come on your pinky. That's all I want to see. Like, what about, like, just someone having sex? Nah, don't do it for me anymore. Like, oh my god. Alright, I'll send the video over, I'll watch. So.
Just send me the boring stuff, it'll do the trick.
Maybe that's something I didn't know I was into. Like, what? I wouldn't be shaking Elise's hands anytime soon.
Oh my god.
Wish Chris was on for this part, by the way. Because, now imagine of all the places you've shot your loads, that, like, to be specific, you've got, like, the three or four major groups that everyone wants to.
Oh, right.
And then go, alright, baby, look, I'm tired of coming on your face. Just hold your foot out. Like, what? Okay, I mean, I guess it's better. I can put a sock on and, you know, I mean, obviously clean up and then put some socks and shoes on after that, but.
Oh, man, that would be pretty wild. Yeah, okay, yeah, sorry. I was interpreting that as not literal shit, but as, like, you know, maybe some risque photos.
I'm sorry, I left out an important part. It's pictures of her shit. That's what it was. It was not, she didn't actually send it to people. She was taking pictures of it for people. Not that that makes it better, by the way.
No, I still have the same questions. Like, that doesn't really change much.
But at least you're not getting, like, a bag of someone's shit, because that's just nasty.
Yeah, that seems unnecessary at best.
But so, yeah, NXT, I don't know.
Yeah, that, okay, we had talked about, I mean, we had started with Swerve Scott and Jake Atlas, and how do end up at Shotzi's?
Yeah, so, speaking of shit in a bowl, let's go back to Jake Atlas. Like, I just don't see it. I don't understand anything about him. Why he's interesting, why he's getting pushed, I don't get it. Well, I think that's where, like, my whole consternation comes in. Like, someone explain to me why.
Yeah, that's, he's one where I'm a little lost, because he's definitely getting pushed now, but they have not really done any work to develop a persona for him at all. Like, I know who Swerve is at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't take that much. Like, that guy has, Swerve hasn't exactly had boatloads of TV time to nail home his character, but he's done it, and Atlas hasn't been given that. Like, it seemed like he was getting a little bit of character when they were doing this stuff with Ciampa. And him kind of coming back from that, you know, that destruction.
But then
he kind of got lost in the shuffle for a little bit. And now they're kind of bringing him back like they were on one long continuous push with him. And it's weird and confusing. Like, I guess I like him as a performer, but like you said, like, there's no personality. There's nothing to invest in with that guy.
I know how this is going to sound, but I can't think of another way of saying it. He's like the diversity person. Because we talked about this before. They won't come out and say what they want to say. Like, I don't know if this man is gay, okay? I'm going to say it like this. I don't know. But they keep using all the verbiage without just saying, oh, yes, this man is homosexual. You know?
I guess I have not noticed that aspect of things.
He's so brave. His will is so strong. I'm like, this is all the stuff for someone that's, like, just came out or something. Like, it's very odd to me.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's like, so to me it's like, all right, they want to have a gay wrestler without saying he's a gay wrestler. And whether or not it matters, of course not. But
Yeah.
It's just the way they're approaching it to me, which is very awkward.
Yeah, that's one of those things that the WWE still seems weirdly uncomfortable with, even though they had, you know, a gay marriage on TV, quote unquote.
Yeah. Well, no, they weren't gay. Remember Billy Gunn's famous line, "Hey, we ain't gay." But and honestly, just from that, maybe it's just for the better they don't. You know, we already have like all the weird of like, well, I mean, fuck, Lawler called Goldust a faggot on TV, and I understand some years ago, but still,
I thought you were gonna connect with the other when you said weird. And since we were talking about NXT, my brain is immediately going to Boa and Xia Li at this point.
I have totally turned the corner on this. I love this.
You know what? I liked this week's segment more than the past ones, but yes. it's still weird. Like, I can like something and think it's weird at the same time.
Because it's so different. Like, well, one, I know they're using fake blood, but they're showing them getting beat, and they're all bloody and stuff. And it's just the weird, like, Shaolin monk sitting there, like, again. Like, it's straight out of all the Kung Fu movies we like watching.
Yes.
But it's for wrestling. And they've done nothing to explain. They're just getting these video clips sent into them. Like, this is weird. You're right. But I'm totally on board. And also, I can't tell you a damn thing about Boa. So if this gives him, like, some warrior personality, I'm good with that, man. So, yeah, I really like it. It's just, it's different without being totally over the top different.
Yeah, because, well, and I guess you were just talking about diversity, too. And there's definitely plenty of diversity on there. On their roster.
But, all right, but that's why I didn't like saying diversity because I couldn't think of a different word. But it was like their whatever pick. So that's
But yeah, it kind of clicks off the boxes. You know, we got the different ethnicities. We need different sexual orientations. But again, like it is kind of weird, like because they never really played into it with Darren Young. They've done some stuff for Sonya Deville, but they never really have leaned into it at all. I mean, I know that she got like the Pride t-shirt and stuff like that, but to me that isn't really leaning into it. Like it's something, but it's not going for it.
Yeah. I think when you're not openly verbalizing it, you're doing a half-assed job of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, get in or get out.
Yeah, so if that's what they want to do with Jake Atlas, like, it would do exactly what we're saying. It would give him an identity.
Yeah. Like, I was about to say the first. Again, I don't know if the man's gay.
Oh.
So I want to make that utterly clear. But they keep skirting around it like he is. So, but it would give him something. Like, I don't know if I don't even know if, obviously not being gay, I don't know if that's something that people want to take advantage of, what am I looking for, exploit.
Oh.
You know? Like, all right, so you're sensationalizing it instead of just treating it like whatever. Because really, it doesn't matter. The only time it would matter is if another wrestler had a problem with wrestling a gay man. You know? And it's like, do we really want to do that? So, because that, like, right now, that's something you don't come back from. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But, and then, yeah, so, yeah, yay for Jake Atlas. I was glad to see Killian Dane was back.
No.
I never once thought he was going to beat Pete Dunne, but they got around it, so that was nice.
he's not going to beat Pete Dunne, especially if Pete Dunne's even if he doesn't go up against Finn Balor, like, he's sniffing that territory at a minimum. So Killian Dane isn't getting a W over him right now.
Yeah. And the one that breaks my heart, but also is just kind of like, what's going on, is Ember Moon. She comes back as the mystery person and all this, and what happens? Loses. All right, loses again. Loses again. Like, this is the weirdest comeback I've ever. Hey. Unless, like, she just knows her job is to put people over now. But it's like, goddamn.
Yeah, that's what that one's been, because when they announced that match of Raquel Gonzalez versus her, I'm like, oh man, Ember Moon's taking another L, isn't she?
Yeah.
And they announced that pretty early in the show, and I'm like, oof, this is not going to turn out well. And yeah, like, on the one side, I can see how she would be a little more excited. Like, she's gotten more TV time on NXT in the past month than she had. I mean, obviously, I knew that she had an injury there, so she wasn't going to go back to. She wasn't going to be on WWE TV, but she was not consistently on WWE TV prior to her injury. Yeah. So, I guess it's cool if you just want screen time, and it certainly is giving her a little bit, kind of pushing her personality in a different direction than it was previously, which is probably something that's necessary. And it might be worth, you know, after she kind of figures her new character out, her getting called back up, because, phew, doggies, either of those women's rosters could use her on, you know, on the main shows. Because even with Candice LeRae and Dakota Kai sidelined, they're still stacked.
Yes. They're ridiculously stacked. Because I know it's like a huge one, but what happened to Aaliyah?
I saw a picture of her and Robert Stone online. That's it.
Oh, okay.
But, right. Yeah, she has not gotten a lot of play recently.
Yeah, it's so weird. She's been there forever.
Yeah.
And just going nowhere. And yeah. The Robert Stone thing was going well, and they just got rid of him. They got, like, Chelsea Green left, and they got rid of him. And then, like, where's Mercedes Martinez?
Oh, you know what? I thought someone said she popped up on the main event roster, but then I don't feel like it happened.
Well, oh. She was one of the women members of Retribution.
Oh.
And then they dropped her. Because I guess she didn't want, I think she realized this is fucking stupid. And so she wanted just, you know, she didn't want to do it. So they sent her back to NXT. But, oh, by the way, I know this is like a total aside, and we haven't talked about how great Johnny Gargano is, but I know we're running up on time. It was a match on Raw where whatever her name is, Mia Yim's mask fell off.
Reckoning.
Okay, and she just said "fuck it" and kept wrestling anyways. It's my favorite, one of my favorite things she's ever done.
Oh, like, is whatever. That what happened when she wrestled the first week? Because she was not wearing a mask a week or two ago. During her...
Yeah, it fell off.
I didn't realize that it fell off. I might not have been paying attention.
Yeah. It fell off, like, right into the beginning of the match. It fell right off.
Yeah, I mean, good for her, especially if she evidently just got called up to, you know, do the jobs for people.
Well, apparently there was a whole, like, the Retribution thing is garbage, but apparently they were on main event on the Miz's show, and they all gave their explanations for why they changed and all this stuff.
Well, like,
shouldn't that have been on Raw?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of falls under the same category of, oh, great, that was on Dark. Like, if it happened on Main Event, it didn't happen to me.
Can you tell me where you can watch Main Event?
The network?
No.
Oh,
I
really?
have no idea where you watch Main Event.
Oh. Well, yeah, if you can't watch it on the network, I got no clue then.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, okay.
Yeah, well, then that makes it even worse. If there's no
Yes.
good place to watch Main Event on a regular basis.
Yeah. But it's to wrap up, NXT was so packed. I know we missed it. Especially Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory. Who Austin Theory is supposed to be like his Randy Orton to Gargano's Triple H. Which, by the way, Johnny Gargano is doing Shawn Michaels from the late 90s. And he's really good at it. So, outside of like being a total dick, him being a dick is great. The whole Austin Theory thing with their high-fiving each other was cracking me up. We didn't even look. No, we didn't even look. You know?
Oh,
Totally worth it.
yeah.
Poor Candice breaks her arm. Bobby Fish tore his tricep. I mean,
Yeah, there were
Sheamus'
a
face smashed.
whole lot of War Games injuries.
Yeah.
Whole lot of them.
That's what's supposed to happen. Well, in kayfabe, it's not supposed to happen, or is supposed to happen. I don't even know how to use that term. So, yeah, real life is not supposed to happen, but in the fictional world of wrestling, it is. So, that
Yeah.
sucks.
Yep. It
Anyways,
kind of
that's
helps
my
prove your
2 minutes in,
point
so we
of
gotta
don't
keep
do
going.
this at home, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I don't feel like we've heard that message all that frequently recently.
Yeah, well, yeah, don't do this at home. Where the hell am I supposed to do it? No, just don't do it. Can't leave the house, I gotta do it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no other options right now, guys. I can't do, I guess you could do backyard wrestling.
Yeah, you're outside, as long as you only have, depending on what state you're in, as long as you only have like 10 people, it'll be fine. Yeah.
Okie dokie.
So
Yeah.
have at
Go for it, kids.
The hospitals aren't full or busy or anything. So yeah, just go ahead and get
Yep.
yourself light tubes and all the other shit. I'm sure they'll enjoy that instead of, people coughing on them and possibly getting them sick. Yeah. Oh yeah, this dumbass has got a bunch of glass in his back. Oh, okay, yeah, send him over. So.
Oh boy. Yeah, I guess I kind of did a quick rundown. There wasn't really too much else on NXT to talk about other than Gargano, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, real quick. Did Scarlett look unreasonably skinny? Like, she's not a big woman anyways, mind you, but she
No.
just looked really skinny to me. Unless it's just been a while. So, or the outfit just wasn't as flattering as I thought it should be. So,
That might have been it. The wife was wondering why her ass was hanging out, and I said, it's because she has a big ass.
no, that's when you just go, because. She's a good egg, that's why. How dare you? So, see, so she never saw Scarlett Boudreau then. Because,
Oh no, I got sent to Impact Wrestling alone when we were in Las Vegas.
okay.
That was not a that was the wife was not joining for that one. She's like, nah, that the WWE going to big events is one thing, because there is a certain amount of fun to be had with the crowd at a WrestleMania. But yeah, Impact taping with like maybe 2,000 people, not her bag.
See, I found those to be way more fun, but everyone's different. So, well, I should be back in the rotation again. I'm feeling better. So,
Yeah, and I need to I need to hit up Shahid for next week. Whether it be Tuesday or Thursday here, we will find out.
yeah, he messaged me during the show, so I got to get back to him before I pass out, which I can feel coming. Yeah. That's the one thing, honestly, that's the one thing they don't tell you about, dude, is how tired you get and how easily tired you get.
Oh,
But,
yeah, I
like I
mean,
said, yeah.
I'm glad that our scare at the office came up with two negatives. So I did not have to take a test, but I have gotten the privilege of working at home for the last, well, basically 2 weeks. So that's had some real upsides to it.
Yeah,
But
how nice is that, right?
yeah, there are some downsides. I will freely admit that there are some real downsides.
Right, well, good for you, not for me, so.
But yeah. See you, bell time beer for this show for me, since I am still fine with drinking. BrewDog Elvis Juice. This is one of the fine beverages that my not quite in-laws gave me. My brother's in-laws gave me when I went down to pick up some unrelated beers from them. That my brother had purchased in Pittsburgh. So yeah, I always take an Elvis juice. It is available nationwide, which is one of the very few beers that people should be able to find no matter where they're listening to this in their ear holes. So yeah, BrewDog, pretty tasty. It's a nice grapefruity IPA. Two thumbs up for a nice simple. Fairly low octane at 6.5% beer.
That's nice. Yeah, I haven't had a drink in almost a month, so.
Eh?
Boo!
Hey.
We got so many in the fridge. I've got so many sours in the fridge. I'm like, oh God, they're not winter beers, but
Well,
someone's gotta drink them.
that's been my other problem is that I have not posted many beer pictures on Instagram because I'm going through all the six packs that I bought during the summer and early fall, and I think I still have like a dozen beers left or something like that.
I always like when someone tells you, you know what, I'm gonna dry up for a month, and I'll feel better. All this, I don't feel any different. So I guess that's how I know I don't have a problem. So.
Yeah, that one's always kind of weird. I feel like I've done a couple of things like, oh, if you change your diet and get rid of this, you're gonna feel so much better. And I'm like, no, I don't feel really any different getting rid of gluten here, people.
Yeah, because I'll just replace it with something else that's bad for me. You don't know me, so.
I think I even tried to replace it with good stuff and it still didn't feel any different. So back to the right. Not that well, whatever. I still eat less gluten, so I will admit that it's changed that much.
No, I wouldn't even know how to give up gluten because I wouldn't even look into it. I don't eat a whole lot of bread anyways,
Oh.
so it's like whatever. Like at least when we were sick, so Elise had to go to the store real quick, and so Elise went to the store and she came back with a loaf of rye bread, and I was like, oh my God, I haven't had this in so long, and you know what's really good? Rye bread.
Yeah. Well, and it does have some good
I owed it
dietary
that one.
properties to it.
That's not what I was going for. I was going for, hey, this is delicious.
It
So.
is delicious. But oh yeah, my Italian heritage ass really has a problem trying to give up pasta. Because that gluten-free pasta is fucking terrible. Oh man, yeah. So that's my problem. And hey, if you like what you're listening to here, people, this is at Stunt Granny. Not sure when Opa's gonna be back. You always do a good job of plugging We Watch Stuff, which has been on a similar hiatus. Got no idea when Opa might be back, so we're gonna keep on rolling with two Stunt Granny shows every week until that status changes.
Yeah, gotta figure shit out. It's been as everybody else's stuff, it's been a weird year. So
Yeah.
things happen, like I know we talk about all sorts of shit anyways, but things do happen. So, it's like
Yeah, this is no one's job, and we are always happy to host whomever decides to join us on this crazy adventure that we started too long ago at this point.
Yeah, too long ago for where we're at, yeah.
Yep.
So.
Even new graphics.
Get the hell out of here.
Even new graphics not helping, you know? What you gonna do?
Whatever. When everyone and their fucking mom literally has a podcast now.
Yep.
Whatever.
Okie doke. At Stunt Granny.
Thanks, guys.
At DeFrango11. At Granny Maze. Night.